are you concerned about protecting that brand new pretty sled that you just got? Here's the solution. Use SledSyn24 for a 15% off discount code on some Backwoods bumpers, the industry leader in performance protection.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the next episode of the SledSyn podcast. We're coming at you again with another mobile truck studio episode. We are currently headed home from spending the weekend in Albany Lodge. So this episode, we're gonna talk a little bit of recap of the weekend. So yeah, if you're not watching this on YouTube or watching it on Spotify, you're just listening. We've got the full team, Shay, Kobe, and Jeff, myself. So yeah, who wants to start
off
with...
What up, brothers?
Who wants to start off with, should we start off with what we did Friday? Yeah. We drove to Albany Thursday, and then, Friday...
What did we
how
do?
Long was it? 15 hours?
Yeah, 15-hour drive. 15?
What did we do right when we got there, though?
What did we do?
Unloaded our bags.
I think me and Shay started working on a snowmobile.
Oh yeah,
that's what I was referring to. Yeah. Everyone forgot about that apparently.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
I kind of wanted to just put that out of my memory.
Oh. Okay. All right, we'll move on.
Shay, that was good team bonding we had.
It was a really good team bonding event. Kobe's master Polaris mechanic. If anyone needs some Polaris guidance on how to work on your sled, hit up old Kobe Mac. I think it's what Kobe Mac.
Kobe Mac 24.
There you go on the Insta. He is master mechanic. So. Got there, unloaded the old Polaris, had to replace the throttle cable. There are only a couple strands, I think, left. Got that tore apart. Shout out to Albany Lodge for letting us use the shop.
And the tools.
Yeah, Dayton and Hunter for all their tools.
Yeah, Dayton and Hunter's tools. Just pretty much rummaged through
which is which is a pretty good quick. Carnival if you've ever tried to go into somebody else's shop use their tools and find stuff when you're in a hurry.
Yeah,
it's a touch stressful, but they had a lot of tools, so that made it
very
a little
well
bit easier
too, so yeah. that did make it nice. How long done in what 3 hours?
Yeah, I was gonna
I think
say
it was about 3 hours. Yeah,
3 hours, and they're not the easiest. I guess you could say they're kind of easy, but it is time consuming. I mean, you pull in the... Maybe there's a different way and we just don't know, but we had to pull the secondary
clutch. Please tell me.
pull the air box. The throttle block sits right between the air box and the motor itself.
Got to unhook your like whole dash, yeah. All that. The little switches deal, that all comes off. I think you said secondary. Obviously, that comes off. Yeah. Like your turbo little vent, that has to come off over there on that one side. It's just a... And then... all your little capacitors, those things come off, and you're unhooking everything, and it's just like, holy cow. I remember when you guys came into the shop, you guys thought I was joking when I was like, no, you got to tear this sled apart, and you guys were like, I don't think I've ever seen this sled like this. And you do. You got to basically...
You like, get dried down, too.
Yeah, you almost tear everything off but the turbo.
Yep.
Wish there was a easier way to do that, but I'm sure.
What a long day.
Sure not. Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
it was a long day. It made it even... I mean, it just kind of made it worse...
Yeah,
the cherry on top, that was what we had to do.
Icing on the cake.
Right after we spent
15 hours driving.
And I the day before we left, I spent 3 hours changing my throttle cable out of my snowmobile. So yeah. I have about 6 hours of throttle cable work under my belt now.
Yep. Yeah.
But so. The boys, you guys brought us some chicken strips and a couple of sodas to keep us going.
Yep.
So that was very grand of you all.
Yeah, we appreciated it. I was starving.
We were cranking the Creed.
Yeah, we met
Gabe loved that.
Yeah, we met Gabe from Belt Burners. He drove down from Wisconsin to hang out with us for the weekend. So then, yeah, him and Jeff and I were waiters for the boys in the shop, bringing you guys some beverages.
Heck yeah.
And some food. And then, yeah, we got that done. Then we got all checked into one of Albany's newest cabins, the Fox.
Foxy lady.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
What did you guys think about the cabin?
Sick.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it.
Yeah, they're really nice. When Jeff and I went last summer.
How'd you like the floors, Tyler?
We stayed in the Willow. What?
How'd you like the floor?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was a fun experience. So there's an upstairs and a downstairs, and so the two bedrooms are downstairs. So Jeff was in one bedroom, I was in the other, and then Gabe and Shay and Kobe were upstairs. And the floor is like just the boards. There's no like insulation or
they're a little bit see-through.
Yeah.
I could see some light through some boards. It's rough cut, you know, it looks good.
Anyways,
it's a real cabin.
I went to bed before you guys did. Jeff, I don't know if you were with
Creed
them
had
or not,
me and Shay feeling pretty good, and we were needed to celebrate a little bit after the accomplishment we made on his sled. So we needed to figure out what Albany Lodge's bar was about.
Yeah.
So we just had to stay out and find the corners real quick and loose ends and tie those up, and we got back to the house. We didn't really want to stop talking, and we didn't.
You guys were moving the beds, and oh man, just yeah.
Yeah, we were like, we were me and Shay, you know, whenever we go on a trip, we like to put our beds together and just sleep that way, and it's a lot easier on things.
I feel more secure too when Kobe's next to me. Something about being in a new place.
It's the protection factor.
Exactly. Yeah.
Two alpha males, one sack.
So, okay, so then Friday, we kind of got a slow start Friday, didn't we? Friday morning.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We weren't in a hurry.
Yeah, we didn't.
Cause we were tired.
The snow wasn't that great. We were super tired.
It was hot.
Yeah, Friday. It was like a high of like 42 or something, I think.
Yeah,
it was because it froze the next 2 days.
So yeah, we took off. We get like, I don't know, 2 miles down the trail, and
Mr. Belt Burners.
We were a little farther than that, weren't we?
I don't know, not much further than 2 miles. Gabe started seeing oil all over his ski and his side panel and stuff, and popped his side panel off and realized that he forgot to put his oil cap back on the night before when he filled it up with oil. So we sat there for a little bit, and he ran back trying to look for it and find it. Couldn't find it, so then we all went back.
Proceeded to find the bar.
Yeah, well, no, before... before we got back, you and I climbed up something, but when I went... I hit a stump.
Smoked.
Oh my!
And I uncovered the stump.
I couldn't hold on for 8 seconds. I'll say that.
Tyler to smoke this thing.
That thing bucked me right off my sled. I was totally fine, but so keep that in mind. I hit this stump, and we'll get back to this. I'll come back to that in a little bit. So yeah, after that, we went back to the lodge, had some lunch, and then came up with a solution for Gabe because he couldn't find the cap.
And so there was not another Ski-Doo on the mountain, literally.
Yeah, there really wasn't.
There was not. It was all Polaris.
Yeah. So what'd you guys do? You took some garbage?
I just took the old
sandwich
baggie with a zip tie and some rubber bands for safety, and you make your own homemade lid. I was saying it, and it was funny because we walked into the bar, and there's this old-timer sitting there, and he was over eavesdropping on the conversation, and he knew what was wrong, and so he just goes, "Hey, you guys need any Ziploc baggies?" And I'm like, "Yeah, actually we do." And so he just like walked right into the kitchen. I thought he was just like a dude eating breakfast in there, but I guess he was the head groomer, and he was like, "Yep, that's what I would do. I'd throw the baggie on there with rubber bands. It's all you can do." Because the Ski-Doos are inside threaded, so like the oil cap itself or the oil reservoir has inside threads instead of like Polaris has outside threads, so you can kind of get a little grip on it, so... I think it ended up lasting most of the weekend. He said he took it over once and had quite a bit of oil spill, I think. But
so anyways, we solved that, and then we went for a rip. And we went and played in some pretty fun stuff. I mean, we didn't go too far out. I don't know, maybe 15 miles, because we weren't quite out to that shelter.
Yep, I'd say 10 or 15.
And we got to the last spot, and Kobe set his sights on a pretty good little jump. So we hit that a few times, and then old Jefe proceeded to hit it.
Yeah, we got all the boys to hit it. I just kept rebuilding the face, and you guys were bombing the landing out more and more and more. That landing was getting deep, dude. After a while, I was like, somebody might just go into that thing and endo over, and it's going to hurt.
That was kind of your first time. That was kind of your first time hitting a jump like that, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah. I had six, like five or six successful attempts.
What about the seventh?
And then the last.
The one time that nobody had their phones out.
And I tried to get Jeff to stop, but he was so amped up on jumping this thing, he wouldn't get off the throttle. Oh my goodness.
Oh. Who would have thought? Should we connect it to the
board?
How
do we do it?
Yeah.
Answer it real quick.
Ooh, check out that semi.
So, for you guys that are wondering why we're all open, Chris Kottenbacher, aka Smasher, has just...
I don't think we can hear him, though, because we don't have headphones in.
Oh, yeah, you're just going to have to put the mic.
He has just entered the chat.
Can you hear him? Say what's up.
Smasher, can you hear us? No, he can't hear us.
Why not?
I don't know. Let's
turn the Bluetooth up, the audio.
Oh.
Hear you.
How about now? Can you hear him?
Oh, he can hear him.
Hear you. I could hear you.
Oh, he can hear us.
There it is. There it is.
Here. Talk to
him. Oh, fuck.
No.
You facilitate. Don't talk shit.
Hey.
You're live, buddy.
Smasher, you're live on the podcast right now, dog.
In the truck.
In the truck.
Dude. Sorry, that was my mom. Mom, don't say that. Or that's not my mom. That was my dad. Dad, don't you get cut.
You're good, dog. We are.
Why we didn't do it through the pickup?
We're currently. Well, I don't know if it'll record to the board though.
It should with one buddy's mic.
Hold on, Smasher. We're doing a mobile podcast in the truck, and we have you synced to the board. But I'm the only one that has headphones on.
Well, that's the problem. You should have synced to a Chevy.
Hey, easy.
That's what iron doggers drive.
Turn it way up.
All right, hold on. Can you hear us, Smasher?
Yes, sir.
Is that going to sync to the board, though? Because it's not synced to that. Because the Bluetooth is connected to the truck.
It should just come to the mic.
It should come through our mics.
Yeah, it's coming through our mics.
Smasher, what's up?
I know, but can they hear him is what I'm saying.
Laying here recouping.
Can you hear good, Jeff?
Yeah, how you feeling, man? Got a little under the weather.
Yeah, I caught a little bug and just sore and tired, and I'm sure the cold didn't help.
Yeah,
I bet not.
But I'll live. Yeah. I'll live to see another Iron Dog.
Heck yeah, dude. I don't know how much you... So we were talking to Justin, and we're trying to figure out like a schedule to maybe try to meet you in Utah and go ride for a day and do a podcast. I'm assuming you were just calling to check in. I don't know how much you want to talk about any of that right now with us. If you want to save it for...
I probably want to save it for the real deal. I mean,
okay.
I've got lots, man. It was, it's a hell of a race. I can tell you that, man. I so much respect for people that have done this over and over. I mean, it's just, there's so much logistically that's involved and just the wear and tear that it takes on your body and what it takes to mentally overcome 2,500 miles on a sled.
Right.
That is freaking nuts.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
Oh, like 1 minute you're just having a blast. Like you're like, this is the coolest thing in the world. And then the next minute you're saying things to you in your helmet because you've been going for 2.5 hours at 13 miles an hour over 4 foot whoops and your arms are dead and your feet are tingling and your thumb hurts. And you're like, what in God's name am I doing?
Dude. What was give us a little bit of a teaser for the people listening, because obviously we'll deep dive into this in person on a future episode here soon. But take us through what was going through your head as you were crossing the finish line.
I did it. I completed the Iron Dog race. Like, you know, it starts off as a race, and then the farther and farther you get into it, you realize it's just survival.
Sure.
I mean, it really is about, you know, what you can endure. Like, you know, what you can put your body through, everything that you had to go through, the weather, the being scared out of your mind, crossing, floating a river, you know. I mean, I did it. You know, it's been a dream for I don't know how long, and all the people that helped, that offered, and all the other racers that were supportive, and you know, there was no arrogant, nothing like that. I mean, all the racers were so supportive and cheering you on and congratulating you, and it's just because it just takes a certain type of human being to just go through that and want to and want to do that. So for me to finally cross that finish line was, you know, I completed another goal. You know, I did it, man. I did my dream. I did it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I'm super proud of you for accomplishing that. I mean, it's huge. You know, you and I had a couple conversations prior to the race starting and whatnot. Even at one point, I think that it was almost like maybe it wasn't going to happen for a little bit, and then things turned around for you, and then it did. And you know, I've had several conversations on, you know, more of like the emotional side of like what this really, you know, meant to you. To do this for yourself. So I'm really proud that you accomplished it, dude. I'm excited to really get into the details with you. I'm stoked.
Oh, I'm so excited, man. I'm so excited. I hope you guys get a good crowd for this, and people can understand a little bit more. You know, it's funny how, I got the amount of support and the people that were, you know, just sending me messages, and as dumb as it sounds, it was really great. Some nights I'd lay there in the, you know, after 13 hours on a sled and you're so tired, I would hurt to hold my phone, but I'd read through some of the messages and respond, and it was really cool to see that people were cheering you on and they really cared, you know, that I was doing it. That was very supportive, and I loved it. Because there was times where, I mean, you're so dang tired, and then the next day you wake up and you just be ready to go. You're like, all right, you know, what's the adventure going to bring today? What's going to happen today?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that's.
You'd start out one day, and it would be, you know, kind of cloudy and maybe snowing and cold. And the next minute, you'd be going through rays of sunshine with just the most epic conditions, where you could hold the sled wide open, and you're doing 83 miles an hour just going across the tundra, and it's just you know, a foot and a half of snow, and you can just hold those sleds to the bar for as long as you want, dude, and they just go.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, dude. I have so much respect for you for going off and accomplishing something like that. We were actually talking about it a little bit this weekend. I don't know if, out of the four of us, I don't know. Kobe, would you do this?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to do it. I just don't know. I think it comes down to the thing, like you're saying, Smasher, you don't really, it starts off as a race and then it turns into a survival endurance deal. And I guess I wouldn't know if I would have the endurance or grit until you're into it doing it, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how you came to, you know, how was that overcoming for you? Did you just know right off the bat, you're like, I'm going to tackle this no matter what? Or?
You know, it's one of those things, I don't know if this is going to come off, but that race is, it's just so, once you start it, there's just so much logistically that goes into it, from signing up, from just deciding you're going to do the race, and then you have to sign up for the race, and then the amount of money that it costs to enter the race, and then you have to get your sled, and then you have to tear your sled down to a certain point, and you have to do so much work to your sled. Like I said, I bet you, no BS, not exaggerating, I had 100 hours into that sled, and that's probably... Oh, you know, it's probably a lot less than what some of those top teams are doing. The things that these top teams are doing to their sleds are incredible. And then, you know, then your gear and the just logistically getting everything organized and making it to race tech and making sure that you have, you know, the right equipment. And then once you get all of that done and you're sitting on the starting line, you know, and you're like, okay, it's all coming together. Then once you're 600-700 miles into this race, you're going through some of these villages where there's, you know, 150 people or 200 people that live there. And if you were to scratch there, for you to get out, to get a plane ticket, to leave there, to go one of the bigger villages, to then take a bigger plane to get to Anchorage, and then have to get your sled out, like, it's so much work, just the thought of that. So you just can't say, you know what, I'm done. Like, I don't want to quit. You can, but you've just created so much more work for you. And all that time and effort that you put into it, and then, you know, how it became so big. And seriously, I don't know how many people were watching me at all, my work watching me, you guys, people that I respected. I didn't want to fail.
Right.
You know, you have that in the back of your head, you know, and you'd think, man, I don't want to fail. I can't fail. I want to finish this, because you don't know if you will do it again. Like, I say I'm going to do it again. Like, I really want a top 10. But to really do it again, I've got, what, 7-8 months that I need to, you know, not think about it. I need to recoup my body. I need to really think about the way I want to train again, because I don't want to be, you know, in that much pain again. and right. I want a top 10. So it's a lot to take in. There's just so much that people don't understand. They just think that, you know, you're going across 2,500 miles, you get on a sled, you hold it wide open, and you go, man. It's not. There's so much strategy and so much planning. And those top 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams, man, you guys, holy Lord. Mad respect for those people.
Sure, I bet. Heck
yeah.
Even the last team, the Sindorfs, it was a father and son, and I was with them a lot, and to see what we all went through, man, I don't care if you're first or last. If you've completed it, you're a god. Like, it's, you've endured so much pain and agony and broken A-arms, and I saw one team that on the last eight, we were passing them, and I stopped, and I was like, you guys all right? And they're like, you guys have a strap on you, like a ratchet strap, and I said, no, I don't. Their rails were broken in two spots, done. So their race was over, and lo and behold, dude, they crossed the finish line, and they figured it out. They made, you know, some straps and whatever they did. I can't even remember because I saw them at the very end of the banquet, but they made it. They took whatever they could do to make it finish, because they were, what, I think they were 90 miles from finish, 100 miles from finish.
Dang.
So it's just incredible what these men, what these racers do to finish that race. It's mind-boggling.
How's your thumb doing, buddy?
Oh, it's jacked. I just went to the doctor today for my cold, and I was like, hey, you want to look at this thumb? And so she looked at it, and she's like, oh, yeah, you're going to lose the nail. She said, does it hurt? And I said, no. And then she grabs it and squeezes on it. And I was like, what the hell? And she's like, yeah, it's a little painful, huh? And I was like, yeah, that hurt. And she goes, you want me to drain it? So she put a needle in it, and she kept squeezing on it, and squeezing the blood out. And I was like, we're good. We're good. Like, I'm done. Like,
we're good. We're good.
Yeah, I just did 2,500 miles on a sled. My body hurts in every weird place that you can think of. Quit hurting me more. I'm done.
Now she's pricking you with needles. That's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you realize I've gone through, I just went through knee surgery like 13 weeks ago, full hip replacement 11 months ago. Like, dude, I beat myself to a pulp.
Gee whiz. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you need to go like have a spa day or something.
Treat yourself.
Dude, maybe you need to have a Slitsend podcast spa day.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, dog.
We're more than down for that.
After a day of riding and then just go do that, that'd be sick.
Throw a podcast in our robes in a big old spa room. Yeah. Put face mud mask on or some shit. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm game.
So
we'll get it in the works.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I was just calling to say hi. I figure you guys are on your way back, and I was just calling to say hi and see what, you know. Actually, how far are you guys from McCall?
We're still quite a ways.
Be there in about 5 hours.
Oh, well, I'd like to be there in 8. My boss is going to be real mad, but
ask him.
Is Utah closer for you guys then?
We just hit Idaho right now. We just crossed the Utah-Idaho border.
I'm headed to McCall this weekend, Smasher.
Yeah, Kobe's going to McCall this weekend.
It's supposed to be deep.
But if
it's deep everywhere. It's deep here. It's real deep here.
If we're at home, like in Hermiston, McCall is closer for us than driving to Utah.
But maybe I just need to take the wife and we come up there for a weekend again.
Yeah, but you did that last time, dude, and I hate having you do that again. I want to meet you somewhere and, you know, meet halfway, because I feel bad making you drive up to us again. So,
whatever. I mean, it's chill time for me. You know, anything that's not, like, it's hard for me to even want to get on a sled. Hardly. I mean,
sure.
Sadly to say, I went riding Saturday with Ben, and man, I got stuck 3 flipping times.
Oh no!
I made it 2,500 miles. I'm 2-0, baby. I've never been stuck on the Iron Dock, not one time.
Heck yeah!
And I go riding with Ben and get stuck 3 times, and I was not happy about it. It's a different riding in your body, and
yeah, for sure. Dude.
But yeah, we need to figure it out, man. I definitely would love to sit down and give you guys the first podcast of this thing.
Yep. Yeah, no, we appreciate that. That's important to us too. So we'll talk amongst the team here and shoot you a message and try to figure out the logistics, and we'll make it happen.
You got it.
Even if it's just me, you know, with everybody's work schedules and stuff, one way or another, we'll get it done.
Okay.
So
sounds like a plan. Did you guys have fun at the lodge?
Heck yeah, dude. We had a good time. Yeah. Friday we just hung out with the boys and went for a rip, hit some jumps and stuff, and then Saturday was that ladies' ride. So there was two separate classes, so like a morning class and then an afternoon class, and then each class was split between beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And each one of those had a female guide that was leading, and then the Sledson boys, we just split up in whatever classes and just were tail guides and just helping out where we could. But it was cool. Yeah, it was a really cool experience. There was quite a few girls that were there that was their first time on a sled, and one of them was in the group that Kobe and I were in, and it was her first time, and she was just absolutely loving it. By the end of the day, she was drag racing her other girlfriend. She was just like, oh my gosh, I need one of these, and so she was just all smiles all day, and so it was really cool to see that. It was good weather and stuff. The snow was pretty decent for, I mean, what we were all trying to do for the day. It was a really cool experience to get to be a part of that.
And they suckered another human being into the expensive world of snowmobiling.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think there's actually a few of them.
Hopefully multiple.
Yeah. I think there was a few of them. It was a really cool experience. And then, Saturday night it just started dumping snow, and then it snowed on us all day Sunday, and we did a boys ride, and Justin Bagnell and Cooper, I can't remember Cooper's Nelson. Last name, Nelson?
Yep.
They came up on Saturday and then rode with us on Sunday, so it was cool to get to ride with them, and then a couple of boys from the lodge, and we went and
snow was killer.
Yes. Foot and a half of fresh up on top where we were. And yeah, it was pretty freaking cold. Not Iron Dog cold, but it was ripping for sure. We had a good time. So it's a long drive though. It's, 15 hours. So we're all pretty freaking smoked.
Oh.
We're rolling off of
at least you can do 15 hours at, 75, 80 miles an hour, not at, what did we do? We did 8 hours at like 13 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Screw that.
No way.
The agony.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I think even if at one point that day, I've never ridden in weather that was that bad where you can see literally 10 feet in front of you, and Stephen Darcy had ridden me a message saying, dude, you're going 22 miles an hour, my son goes faster than you. And I texted him back when I finally got service. I was like, you don't even know, man. Darcy doesn't even know. I need to get Darcy as my Iron Dog partner, I think.
Yeah. There you go. Well, good stuff, dude. Guys. Well, we're going through a canyon here. I appreciate you calling to check in. We'll talk to you soon, dude. Hello?
Looks like we lost him.
Looks like we lost him. All right. Bye, Smasher.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We have RSI. So the handlebar setup on your sled is arguably probably one of the most important components on your whole setup. So definitely check out their site. They've got a ton of different products. And use SledSin24 at checkout for a discount.
That's okay, because we don't want to keep talking about the Iron Dog.
Yeah.
He wants to get into it, though.
He's chomping at the bit. So, okay, so I kind of obviously already touched on what we did for the weekend, but let's...
There's more details, though.
Yeah. Let's kind of...
Where were we? We left off with me wrecking on the jump.
Yeah, we were still on Friday. We haven't got to our weekend yet.
Yeah, so we ripped the jump for a little bit, and you crashed on your last...
I forgot to brake tap on the last one.
And
ate shit.
Spilt off the sled.
It was fun.
So then after the jumping, then we kind of decided to go back. So we hit the trail and we're ripping back, and all of a sudden my track, I just have like serious vibration and like clunking. And so I stop and, I get off my sled and I'm looking around, and at first I thought, like, I don't know, maybe it was the Hyphax thing or something. And I was like, what? And I, all of a sudden I noticed that my front center track shock was snapped in half, essentially. But it was really weird. So the shaft, like the threads came out of the housing on the bottom part.
Yeah, it didn't snap. It just kind of came unthreaded.
It backed out for some reason.
Yeah, which the threads were totally fine. Like, the threads weren't stripped or anything, so we weren't really sure.
I don't know how it does that.
I thought that it was from the stump, but come to find out later when we were talking to Justin that that's not what it was. They had never seen that before. Justin's been a part of Z-Bros for a really long time. So he sent some pictures off to Nate, and they're assessing it, and we'll get it taken care of and fixed. But it was, it was pretty interesting. So it was completely off, and so I just had to take some parachute cord and hold it up so that I could ride the rest of the way out. And then we got back to the lodge, and thankfully, shout out to Dayton, we stole one of the stock Chaos front track shocks off of one of his sleds that was in the shop. So then we were back in the shop working on sleds again for the second night in a row. But we got that one back on and then rode the next day, and it was all good. But
that would have been my third night in a row.
Yeah, my third night in a row.
Yeah.
How many hours do you guys think we slept collectively this weekend?
Six.
Oh,
yeah. Six to eight, probably total.
I'm solid. Yeah,
like
solid
actual, six actual or eight. Sleep time.
Well, we're coming off right now. Last night we got 2.5.
Yeah. I bet I'm 2.
Yeah, I heard you guys up there.
Me and Shay still, we're up there talking.
Yeah. Oh, I heard you.
That's a problem.
I don't know why. When you guys were moving around up there,
I heard you guys. I heard you guys bonding a little bit. I couldn't make out what you were saying, but I could tell that you guys were bonding off of.
There was a couple sleds and handshakes in there.
Yeah. Dude, the special sled send. Oh, give it to the camera.
Yeah, baby. Let's go.
That's how you do it.
Fresh. Jeff, how did you even come up with that? Like, what was going through your head to think, like, oh, this is what we should do. This is a good idea.
He just walks up to me and says it. I don't know where it came from. He's like, dude, let's try it. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, dude, it's sick. And we did it.
And now it's a thing.
Where did it come from?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I have no idea.
I still refuse to do it, but maybe one day.
Just a random thought I had in my head. Like, this would be a cool handshake.
Dude, it was so funny because we were doing it all weekend and everybody just looks at us like, what are you doing? So for the people that are listening, you obviously don't see what we just did. We have a special handshake that starts with just a good old bro shoulder hug, and then it turns into one heck of a pistol sniffing party. I don't know how to explain it, but my favorite part, I think, is when we were doing it and then when Rich started doing it and sniffing everybody's shoulder.
Yeah, he started sniffing our neck.
Yeah, because he didn't know how to do it, so he was just like, heck yeah, that's cool, just did it, and then sniffing our necks.
Wild.
Oh, I was dying.
That was so funny.
Okay, so anyways, yeah, we get my sled fixed.
Wild.
We have dinner.
Wild, and, the first ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, the first ever. That'll be released or not released?
It'll come after this episode.
Okay. Yep. So I don't know if I should disclose that.
Yeah, so
not.
the next episode is going to be a super special episode. First of its kind. Tori Billings with Tubi essentially took over the Sled Send podcast. So it was an episode with all of the lady guides for the Ladies Ride Day, which we'll get into here in a second. But yeah, so it was Tori, Maggie,
Tanisha,
Julie, and Bailey.
Yeah, Tanisha.
Yep. Tanisha, Julie, and Bailey.
No, not Bailey. Oh my god!
Dude, it's still coming.
We're gonna have
from
to
there.
Cut that and send it to her, Peyton. Yep. I did like a short little intro, and then gave Tori my mic, and those five girls just ran a whole. How long did they go? So I only got to watch like the first 10 minutes. And then Kobe and I had to go work on my sled, so I didn't get to watch it. But Shay and Jeff, obviously.
It was about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, hour and 20 nice. Minutes.
It was hilarious.
It was a cool one. So it sounds like it was pretty banger episode.
Real barn burner.
Stay tuned for that, because that'll be the following episode from this one that you guys are listening to right now. It'll be a good one.
Hopefully some chicks will listen to that one. I don't know if they probably don't like listening to us, so maybe they'll like listening to them.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, they were doing the episode.
Ran a podcast. I was trying to help T. Smith Mechanic, and I don't know if I was doing more harm than foul, but
that's all good. You were there for entertainment purposes.
I took the track shock out of the other one halfway. Yeah. Until I couldn't get that one
blue. I think it turned into a karaoke session for you. By the end.
we had some friends that had came down and they wanted to help us, so I was doing the communication side of things.
The entertainment.
And the dude's wife was actually helping Tyler fix the slide.
Yeah, she was.
Because I wasn't very good, so she started giving him a hand.
Yeah, so we got that all done and then hung out for a little while, went to bed, and then woke up Saturday, pretty early Saturday. And so this was the second annual ladies ride.
Like, I went to bed at like 2 a.m. on Saturday.
Yep.
And it was all put on through the Trixie Strong Foundation through Albany Lodge. And Trixie was David's, and David's the owner of Albany Lodge. It's his past wife that passed away.
Two years ago.
It was shortly after, not last heydays, but the heydays before. Yep. It was shortly after that that she had passed away.
Literally, a month after we met them.
She passed from cancer. Was it?
Colon cancer.
Colon cancer?
Yeah.
So they created the Trixie Strong Foundation to help get proceeds towards
getting colonoscopies.
Yep. Right? Getting so tested and getting that stuff looked into. You know,
anything like that.
Reach out to him.
Yeah, reach out to that foundation because that's the whole purpose of it.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, it was a pretty cool, you know, they did this ladies ride for that for the first time last year. It was a big success. I think they had about 60 girls. And then this was the second one, and I think they had about the same. Yeah. Same. So, yeah, it was, you heard me telling Smasher when he was on here that there was two separate classes. There was like a morning session and then an afternoon session. And then within each session was a beginner group, an intermediate group, and then an advanced group. And so the lady guides that I just mentioned that were doing the podcast episode, they were split amongst those three levels. And then myself went with Kobe and Gabe, and we went with the intermediate group. And then Shay. With Peyton, yep.
Yep.
And then Shay and Jeff went with the beginner.
Yep, which was Maggie and Tanisha.
Yep. And so we took them all out in the morning and then brought them all back for lunch and then took out a whole new group in the afternoon.
Yeah, there was some carryovers, so you could do a morning and the evening class.
Yep. Some girls rode all day.
Yep.
I think we had one carryover. One or two.
We had a couple.
Yep.
Yeah. It's super fun to see the carryovers from what they learned in the morning.
They made so much progression. It was crazy.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you guys, in your group, you guys spent quite a bit of time doing some drills and actual teaching for counter steering and wrong foot forward. And
jumped right into it. Like, with the first thing we did, we just jumped into a meadow, kind of told them, hey, you know, get familiar with your sled. We just rode trail for, you know, I don't know, 15 miles or so. Get familiar with your sled, get to know the area a little bit, and then we kind of just hung out, took some pictures, I think, for a little bit, Jeff.
Yep.
And then I think one of the girls came up. I think she was, they're from Kansas City, I want to say.
Yeah.
She came up and was like, hey, I was told to talk to you guys. And so Jeff and I are kind of like, okay, what do you want to know? And she just kind of wanted to know how to get her sled on edge. We jumped into that real quick and then jumped in like straight into wrong foot forward, getting your sled on edge. And then next thing you know, everyone's huddled around, and both Maggie, Tanisha, myself, and Jeff were teaching the whole class, and
it was so fun.
It was awesome. You just see everyone. I mean, there was a lot of tip overs, but that's part of the game, right?
Yeah.
You don't go down the ski hill the first time and not fall.
They all had great attitudes too.
Yeah, they did. It was a great time. Lots of learning, lots of progression, and smiles left and right. There's another one too, the evening class. We went to a different area, and then at the end of the day, Tanisha wanted to kind of climb up a hill, take him to a good size hill for beginners, and go up it, and everyone was pretty I'd say apprehensive at first, as a little intimidating. I know I'd be intimidated by it.
Yeah.
And so
Jeff probably still was.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Dang. Oh. Ended up just taking him right on up.
I'm trying not to say mean things to you right now.
You just stoned him up right there, dude. He didn't even know what to say. He was like, what?
No, I knew what to say. I just, you know.
Say it.
Shouldn't say it.
But yeah, it, I think the first girl went up, like she just went right behind me. We got up to the top, turned around, came back down. And then after that, it was
one after
another. One after the other. We got up to the top. Jeff had the good idea of going up to the top and getting pictures. And you could see from where we were at, you know, the just pretty much the oh shit eyes on the way up. And then they kind of start cresting up the top and they could see the top. And those oh shit eyes just turned to pure joy.
Yeah.
And the smile was just cheek to cheek.
That's cool.
And that's the, I mean, that's what we were there for, right? Is to produce that.
I want
to
say we had seven out of 13 go up it.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe. Nice. We had a good percentage.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
They were very ambitious, I feel like.
It was a blast, though.
Yeah, that's cool. So our first, Kobe's and I's first class in the morning, you know, Peyton kind of gave the group the option of what they wanted to do. And they all just wanted to rip around and play.
They were just rippers.
So we went to a bunch
of different
meadows.
They didn't need wrong side this. They wanted to go full throttle across meadows.
Yeah.
They did. Then we had one chick. She was, like, off in the trees, wanted to do side hilling and all that. She ended up moving to the advanced group, but... Yeah, our chicks were like, every time I turned around, I'd stop. I'd be like, they're right there just sitting there waiting, like, what's next? And I'm like, well, here we go. I don't know. Let's go find something else.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Rewarding.
Then, yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, it was like, well, that one girl that had never been on a sled before, you know, and then to see her at the end of the session.
That was cool stuff.
Like, she was drag racing her friend that she was with.
She was drag racing me.
And there was, like, well, I think, like, almost every time when, you know, we would all stop and kind of just huddle together in the meadow or whatever,
she was
just, like, off, still going, ripping all
they'd
over
like,
the place.
Like,
she was
up,
never
be
taking
like,
breaks.
Hey, can we still go out and play? And I'm like, yeah, don't stop. And just, boom, gone again.
Was that the same lady that every time Peyton asked, you know, what do you guys want to do?
No, nope, different one.
Oh.
That girl just had a great attitude for it. She had, every time, what do you guys want to do? I don't give a shit.
Yep.
That's what she'd say every time. And so then after a while, Peyton's like, okay, I know that she doesn't give a shit, but what do you guys want to do?
That's
and
so
she
funny.
Was just happy to be out there. Her and her, I think it was either her mom, not sure.
Yeah,
she had a lady with her. They came up to me afterwards and they thanked me for it. And they were like, we had such a fun time riding with you guys. And you boys are awesome. And da 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 da. Thanks for making it such a fun morning and day. Wish we were staying for the afternoon ride.
Yeah, and then the afternoon ride was a little bit different. They switched the guides around. So the intermediate afternoon, we were with Tori and Julie. And same kind of thing, the collective group, like, they wanted to work on getting their sled up on edge and some throttle control and some wrong foot
forward
stuff.
Yeah, Tori ran them through a bunch of reps.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, all they did.
I bet the second group was probably so sore. I was honestly kind of like, I'm like, oof. I don't even know if I could do some of this stuff right now. Like, they were repping a lot of drills.
Yeah, and so obviously, you know, that's all led by Tori and Julie and stuff, and so there wasn't really a whole lot for us to assist with. So we just went off to the side of the meadow.
Yep, built a fire. Typical mountain story.
Yeah. So
Smith are getting kind of good at those.
Yep. I mean, overall, it was really cool to, you know, and shout out to Albany Lodge. Like, the whole organization of everything was top notch. Like,
they do pretty dang
the
entire, well for all that being chaotic as it is.
Yeah, the entire process A to Z was just dialed. I mean, from getting all the girls ready and setting the tone for what was going to happen for the day, getting everybody divided into their groups. A lot of girls, I can't remember the numbers, but it was like, way more girls this year had their own sleds versus rental sleds, which is cool. And Tori talked about that on the podcast that you guys will hear on the next episode.
This wind is ripping.
Yeah, we're grab walking right now.
Look at that truck
in front of us is grab walking.
So yeah, I mean, Albany just has a really sweet dialed process to how they run the, not just the clinic, but I mean the entire business overall that they have. With
David,
Blair's Adventures
Dayton
and everything.
And Hunter, those guys, they do a really clean clean job there.
Yep.
I told him that, and I meant it. That was impressive.
Yeah.
We run a lot of sleds, you know, with our little group, but that's another thing. Like, those are everybody that rides, they know it. It's their sled, you know. He's out here running 50 to 60 sleds, you know. They got three groomers going. They got the restaurant, all that, cabins, hotels. Holy cow.
The groomers, that trail was just
one of the best trails we've ever ridden.
Yeah, it was so...
It was honestly actually fun to ride on, I felt like, because you could haul ass.
That's a good point. I know in previous podcasts we've talked sometimes about, like, you know, how is trail riding fun? Like, and that, maybe that's just because we grew up on mountain sleds or are on mountain sleds. But, yeah, smashing down that trail, I could see how fun that can be, especially if you're on a trail sled that is really getting after it and can really suck up those corners. Oh, yeah, you would have a blast, I think.
It's like a freeway.
Now you guys know what I was talking about earlier in the year when I was, like, worried about getting the 325 and not being able to race on the trail.
Yeah, you're sled.
And I remember you guys were all like, oh, racing on the trail is not that much fun. You'll never do that. And it's like, it was, though.
Fun.
It is.
It was so fun.
And we always have to trail ride in and out, it seems like, wherever we go. So
yeah.
You might as well make the best of it.
I feel like. But this, I feel like this one was definitely a lot different. Like, we definitely lined up where we're three wide multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like McCall. McCall, I was telling the groomers last night, McCall, they use or MT-855 Challengers to groom out there instead of, like, Tuckers or Piston Bullies. And I'm like, an ag tractor? Holy cow. They're a long ways from home.
Yeah.
But those trails were nice.
So, yeah, the ladies' ride was a big success. After we got finished up, we had a kind of a team dinner with the guides and us and the Albany boys. And yeah, they even had live music Saturday night at the lodge.
Chick had some pipes on her.
She did. Yeah.
I think most of the, actually all the guides, so all the girl guides went home that night. And they had a hell of a drive home.
Yeah, because it started dumping snow that night.
It looked horrible.
Literally just white out. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the mountain got a foot and a half of snow overnight, so I can imagine trying to drive through that.
Yeah, no fun.
Wild. They had to cross a pass too, so
yuck.
Yeah, so
shout out to them for making the drive.
Yep. And then Sunday was the boys' ride. So it was us, the Sledson team, and then Gabe was with us, and then Hunter and Dayton and Rich, and then we were also joined by Cooper and Justin as well. So it was cool to get to ride with, you know, I mean, Jeff and I have
variety
known,
of different
Jeff and I've yeah, Jeff and I have known Dayton and Hunter for
a couple years now,
and it was cool to finally get out on the snow with them. Yep. And then Justin Bagnell, he's been a huge advocate for the podcast, and he was on an episode at Hay Days and stuff. So it was really cool to be able to get on the snow with him as well. He drove up from Utah. So yeah, we took off. There, like 9:30, 9:45, 10, I guess.
Yep. Slow start.
I think it was a little after 10.
And, oh my gosh, about 5 minutes into the trail ride out, I was like, I did not dress appropriately for this. I should have not worn my 1.0s and put on my 2.0s because it was pretty chilly.
The wind was ripping.
It was dumping snow.
First time I've ever stopped at a warming shelter on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was probably, 19, 20 miles back into French where we dropped down in?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Tyler with Sledsend. Wanted to take a second of your guys' time and ask for your guys' support for what we're doing with the brand of Sledsend. So if you guys are enjoying, you know, the podcast episodes with all the different guests, the tour videos and such, check out sledsend.com. We have a variety of different merch. Every order comes with air fresheners and stickers. And like I said, we appreciate your guys' support. We need it to continue to do this. And without further ado, let's get into the video.
We dropped down into, I think it's French Creek, right?
French Creek, he called it Seven Fools. I think when we got down to the bottom, I was talking to Dayton, and he kind of explained the background of it and why they called it that.
Gotcha.
Super, super fun area.
Oh, man, yeah. So we played right there for several hours, having all kinds of fun. Jeff, you got to jump on the boost for a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun. Good times.
Not much of a thumb guy anymore.
No.
Obviously.
We had to search around for Ski-Doos again.
Yeah.
Polaris or Ski-Doos is listening to this. Dude, or they ever the 7S, do. Can you guys seriously just put some maps together?
Please.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Dude, yeah.
It's so unsafe. Dude, we looked for Gabe for what, an hour over? Yeah. Like, if he'd have been pinned under his sled, he's dead.
Yeah.
I think we should do
it. We had radio contact with him, and we knew he was okay. We just couldn't find where he was. But, dude, I mean, shout out to the Polaris and the 7S. Like, when you have a group of 10 guys...
It's so nice, you know,
that's some of the best snow. I mean, maybe not Kobe, but that's some of the best snow that most of us have ridden all season. And so all of us were just like,
we scattered,
just going
like
off
cats,
all over the place, right? And so, like, I was so glued to that 7S. I could see where Kobe Mac was. I could see where Hefe was. I could see where Virgin was.
Again, we can get into the backstory on that here in a second. That's a good one.
That's a really sugar.
But yeah, the 7S is just so key, and we had
it was so funny just seeing Virgin out like somewhere.
Yeah, there was
coming towards you.
There was eight of us that had 7S and two Ski-Doos. And so there
was a majority of the day looking for those Ski-Doos too.
Yeah, there were several times where we were trying to coordinate, you know, trying to figure them out. And then, towards the end of it, we built a huge fire tucked back in
that
the trees
because
it was just ripping wind.
And like blizzard, like 360 wind type of blizzard.
Yeah. And so we built.
We nestled right in there, too.
Yeah, we did.
A banger.
That was cozy.
A banger of a fire. And I saw the last, like, split second of it. But I don't know if all three of you saw it or whatever, but speak on. The lumberjack on Cooper.
Oh, that was sick.
What he did?
He's sitting there cutting these trees down. I mean, this guy's an animal. He's like 6'4" or 6'5" or something. He's a big old guy. And I was like, hey, we're starting a fire, and he's all about it, man. This guy's got jet boils. He's got top of ramen on the mountain, saws, ropes, you name it. So we all start sawing away. Well, me and Gabe are over here getting like limbs, you know, and stuff like that, and limbs and trying to do it. And I'm starting a fire, so I'm feeding the flame, and old lumberjack over here is sawing down a like 30-foot tree. It's dead, but it's
a
like
a pole.
Yeah, 30-foot tall tree. Like, this ain't no little 10-footer. And so he's sawing down at the bottom, gets a good back cut on it, and there's two sleds, Gabe's sled and Jeff's sled.
I thought for
sitting
sure.
to the back towards the group, and he's trying, like, he's pushing it away, Well, he's getting screwed by another tree that's got all the branches, right? So he's just trying to get it around this one branch. He's pushing, you know, it's cracking, it's almost going. And then snap, the whole tree falls, and it's going timber right on top of that Ski-Doo. And Jeff's sled is probably going to get protected because it was going to hit the Ski-Doo. He somehow grabs this 30-foot tree by the base.
He manhandled this thing.
And literally moves this tree like a masticator, because then he went from the logger to the masticator. and he just grabs this thing and, like, puts it exactly where he'd want to, just like a logging skidder would do, and then drug it right. I mean, it was such a close call. His face when he turned around, he was almost so scared, and he even said, he's like, I was so scared for whoever sled that was. He goes, I was going to do everything in my power not to let it hit that. So that was impressive getting to see that. I was impressed.
Yeah,
that was good.
Then you almost lit me on fire. Yeah.
And then you almost set yourself on fire.
At the end of the fire, we had two options. It was time to roll out. We had two options.
Sheesh.
To go up through, I don't know if you classify it as Narville, but up through the
really
shit.
It was a really steep shit. Just to climb up and out.
Yeah, climb up and out, back up onto the trail.
Not quite just up and out. It's more like a 30-time zigzag up and out. But yeah.
Or the second option was to drop back down and go up the way we originally came down, which was much more easier. And I think... I voted for that.
That was kind of the plan.
Shay voted for that.
I voted for that.
Jeff voted for that. Jeff's like, I don't want to go up and get stuck. Well, he got what he didn't want.
I was not the only one.
We ended up just taking off out of there.
Yeah.
And then it's hard because, like, I don't know. I think most people can relate. You see a line, and you're just like, oh, that looks like fun. I'm going to do that.
Well, so Hunter was the first one out, and then I was right behind Hunter. And we kind of kept poking up, and he was kind of looking up, and he was pointing up, and then he went up, so then I went up, and then we got to, like, this, like, enclosed. It was just too many trees, so we like turned around. Well, I went down farther and did one big loop down and then came back up, and I could see on the 7S that people weren't moving and they were up, you know, in the steep part in the trees and stuff. And so then I came up and I saw you, and you were pointing, you know, go up further.
Well, I was pointing to Dayton. What I was pointing to. Oh. But it's hard. I mean, hard to communicate that stuff.
Well, I thought you were pointing for me to go. So I hammer it, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this black and orange tubi suit, kind of in a tree. But I was already committed, so sorry, Dayton.
Sorry, Dayton. I got him.
And I took off, and I made it up to the top with Justin and Cooper and Gabe. And we could see everybody's sleds below, and nobody was moving, and then there was some radio chatter and stuff. And so the four of us that were up there just kept playing. There was just huge, like, 20-foot, like, wind drifts and stuff. And we were just playing around there. And then the four of us made it back up to the trail, and then that's when things got real fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Jeff was stuck.
Kobe was tree down.
Kobe was,
I wasn't stuck.
Yeah. Fuck that. You can't. I wasn't stuck. You can cut that one out. But I wasn't stuck. Nobody's seen me getting stuck.
Yeah. Nope. Huh? Yeah. Well, I saw zero movement for a little
Shea
while.
Shea would have been the only one that 7S. Could have somewhat stood some ground on this, but he didn't hear me somehow.
I heard you come over the radio saying Shea Shea.
Yeah.
And that was after I
heard that.
I was pointed uphill. Had to do like a little bow tie to get out because I was trying to get back to Dayton.
I could hear you guys were like right there, just like full throttle. What?
Oh, that, yeah, that was,
and all of a sudden it stopped, and I was like, well, I don't know what they're at, but they found something.
I think that was me trying to get back to Dayton, because when we left, I ended up catching up with Hunter, and then Hunter kind of stops, and I talked to him. I was like, hey, we could just kind of like pick our way up and through and kind of hang left, right, and then we can meet up with the trail. Yeah, I don't see why not. Cool. Just point and shoot. And so I took off, smashing up the hill, end up getting to a section, and I stop. Well, then Dayton comes through, and he's like, hey, we need to drop down, and we'll go back over. We'll hit that trail. He's like, okay, cool. So Dayton and I start dropping back down. I'm following him, and he kind of gets a little helter-skelter and gives her the beans. Well, I'm still trying to, like, side hill across. There's, like, this massive roost coming across my vision, and I just went through it blindly, and then my goggles were like caked with snow. I don't know if anyone's ever been roosted before, but caked with snow, so I couldn't see anything. So I stop. Well, then I see Dayton's stuck, so I go to flip back around. Well, that's about the time you came up, and I was pointing to you, towards Dayton.
Yeah, right then is where I could see and hear all of this going on.
That's when you
I was checking my track.
I was trying to turn back around. I thought you were just giving me, like, the props that I turned that thing around and got to Dayton.
That's what I was doing, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I seen you, though. You were trying to tighten your track with your bumper.
Well, so then we were...
So then I make it clear to the top, because that's what I seen T. Smith. I seen all your guys' 7S displays. So then finally, after I was done tightening my track, I make it up to the top. Then I see T. Smith, and all these guys are like looping around me, headed back down. So I finally get up the bag. Now I'm like, what? Where'd everybody go? And he's like, oh, they're all headed back down. And I'm like, well, I don't know what we're doing in this sideways blizzard up here. Why don't we go down too?
Yeah, so you and Justin and Cooper went back down to help people get unstuck.
Nah, I don't know where Gabe, Cooper was.
Cooper was, yeah, he was Cooper with you. Was, yeah.
Well, yeah, he was. So Cooper and Gabe and I went back down the trail to where we originally dropped down in.
Yeah,
at the very beginning. And then Cooper circled back around and came.
Rich.
Cooper eventually went back with you guys.
Uh-uh. No.
Well, no.
He left us.
Cooper wasn't with us.
He ended up, I think he went to go see you guys, and I think I don't know if he did get...
He never found us.
Jeff was in, like,
he
the
got a
thick
little
of it.
Well, I don't know where he went, but he came out with you.
Yeah, so he didn't come... him and Hunter ended up coming down at the same time. So Hunter...
They probably went around
Hunter
together.
Hunter got out. Well, Hunter was helping everyone get unstuck, I think. Right, yep. Jeff?
Yeah, he helped me saw a tree down.
I think Hunter went and helped Cooper get out. I think Cooper got a little sideways, too. They came down. Dayton and I had dropped all the way back down to the bottom at this point. we were at a two for the day. We were ready to be done.
Yeah.
And so we stayed at the bottom, waited for everyone else that was coming down to come down. And yeah, so who was it? It was Kobe and Justin.
Me and Justin dropped down off, and then we found Rich. Jeff, and then we found Rich, and then we found Jeff again, and then we found Justin, and then we found Rich, and then we found, everybody was just getting stuck after that.
You know what pisses me off?
Then we were in such a steep, hillside where we were all, determined, hey, if we could just get right up here, it opens up. Well, me and Bagnell were just ripping on the turbos up through there, and these guys are trying to follow our lines with 9Rs, and
Bagnell has a pretty good
What about those turbo trenches, Jeff?
They suck you in. That's for damn sure.
They do.
What pisses me off is I was literally 10 or 15 yards from the opening of being at the top where I got stuck, and I got all sideways
finally,
and shit.
Once you made it, then you were like, oh shit, there it is.
Yeah, I was literally there.
Yeah, remember when we went, I'm like, dude, just go right through there, and you went an easy side hill, and remember it opened all up after that? Just, but then Bagnell was in another tree, so.
He found a stump.
So eventually.
Yeah, he about impaled himself on that stump.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of sketchy. You guys didn't see that, but that stump was
he told us about it.
Yeah, he had to
I know he told you, but
off.
I'm saying it was a sheared off jag. I was right there helping him, and he was looked at me kind of with a whole crap face, and I'm like, dude, that could have been bad. He's laying he's standing clear down beneath his sled, right where this thing is just shooting up where your body should be, and it's 2 feet above the sled. I was like, that could have been bad. It was sharp too.
That one's gonna hurt. I saw that one coming. So eventually we all got out of that, regrouped, made our way down to the warming shelter for a little bit.
That was a cold ride.
Yep, and then made our way all the way back out. So we're getting to over an hour now. So we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. But huge shout out to Albany Lodge for putting on this event and inviting us to come down and partake the whole weekend. Obviously, it's an epic place to ride. But they have everything that you could ever want. I mean, from a full stock lodge, restaurant, bar, cabins, there's
they could work on some hot tubs, though. Hunter, get us some hot tubs rolling.
So, I mean, if you guys are interested in going and staying there or looking it up, we'll put their website in the description. Highly suggest that you
feel
guys
feel free
look
to
into
contact
it.
Any of us if you have any questions on it as well.
Yep, absolutely. Again, big shout out to them. They have an awesome business and system set up there. So, and some studs that work there.
Heck yeah. So,
well, cool. Was there any comments or anything, you guys?
Shout out to we had Maggie and Tanisha. They killed it on teaching these girls. They did. I mean, awesome. Learned a lot from them myself. And how to effectively communicate, teaching how to ride, because it's definitely not something I think about every day. So
sure,
great
it's a hard
experience
to get.
And they are great riders.
Yep. Shout out to all the ladies.
Yeah, they made it super fun.
Helped guide
those They're clinics. All rippers too.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Jeff, you have any parting words?
Let's get home.
Yeah,
let's get home.
We still have 6 hours left in the truck. So, we appreciate you guys tuning in for this episode, and we've got some good ones in store coming up. So, we will catch you guys on the next one.
What's the question?
Ooh, that's a good point. We got to figure out something.
Or they should ask us.
What is the
question.
Farthest you've traveled?
I did that on the last podcast.
You did?
Oh, that's probably another shout out. Shout out to the Tubi gals that flew out from Sweden
that was
be
cool.
a part of this. They flew out from Sweden, arrived the night before, stayed for the morning class, and then they bounced because they had how do you pronounce it? They were going to a skidjoring. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
A what?
It's where you're getting pulled by a horse on skis.
I can't even hear what you said.
You're getting pulled by a horse?
Yeah,
on
what
skis.
Do you call it?
Skidjoring?
Yeah, skijoring.
Skijoring?
Yep.
Yeah. And they were headed to that. But shout out to them. For making that trip, that's definitely the longest travel I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Sweden to Albany Lodge.
Oh, yeah.
That's a mission.
I don't know if you can really
I don't know
get
if
too
I
much
have
farther,
a question.
But
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to base a question around the women somehow if I can, but
without stealing what they asked to.
What did they ask? Because we weren't there.
We'll hold off on that one. I don't want to say it on this one because it airs before.
Yep. I mean, maybe something along the lines to the guys getting their girls to get out and go ride. Like, what's holding you back from...
This would be my question. Do you take your girlfriend or wife snowmobiling with you?
Yeah.
Why or why not?
Yeah.
Good question. Right there.
There's our question.
Perfect.
There's some people that like to, some people that don't.
Cool. Let us know your answers below in the comments. And, that's a wrap. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Peace.
See ya.
Bye-bye.